say.
Let's get kinky. You're listening to the Funny Dom Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Funny Dom Podcast. Podcast not just about kink, but it is kink. It's a pleasure to be back. I know it's been some time since our last episode, but as with everything that I do, I try and keep what I think of as a majority stake in my own energy being in place, whether it's this kind of content or any of the work I do. If I'm not doing it mostly for myself, then I tend to keep an eye on that and step back, because I only want to be doing things where I am in that space. And I feel that being in that space is what makes the things, whatever they are, truly genuine and authentically intended, and gives them the energy that they should have. So I have taken a little break from the podcast, but I've returned to it now with a new gratitude, a new energy, and some exciting plans, which I will let you in on in due time. But first, we've got a lot of catching up to get to, haven't we? So what has been happening? What's been happening with you? I'm sure quite a lot, if you're one of my long-time listeners. I bet a lot has happened. Dynamic time is not like regular time. 2 weeks can feel like 6 months. And it has been months, so goodness me, it's been years. What's happened with myself has certainly felt like a bit of an era, I suppose. I had my self-collaring finish, which I thought was the end of that. Really, it was the start of a new era, which is the post-self-collaring. So anyone familiar with the self-collaring concept is now about to learn about what comes after, because that's part of the lesson of self-collaring, is that it doesn't finish with the end of the process and the collaring. And I don't think we assume that that's the case, but it feels like there isn't a continuation, because you're so focused on the self-collaring process, whatever it's been, whether it has been a few days or a few weeks or many months. I think the more time you spend, the more you focus on that end date. And as I've had the experience myself, and now have supported several people through my one-on-one space through their own self-collaring, and I've witnessed others go through this, there is this aftermath phase of self-collaring where you get it and you get into a bit of a kind of almost numb state of like, wow, now what? But you also have almost a sense of loss, because the process and the routines and the focus that you've had is now gone somehow, because you've attained what you wanted to attain. You've made the achievement. So you have this reward and you have this new sense of self-worth, and whatever commitments you've made as part of that, and whatever demonstrations you've made to yourself with your self-collaring practice, all these things have been learned and taken on board, and they have their own effects. But the practices and the routines, the structure that you've kind of been leaning on and now you've kind of taken for granted a little bit, is over. It's gone. So when I went through that, I definitely went into a very odd fugue state. And I sat with it for a few weeks intentionally. And I've told others, when they go through their self-collaring, when they get to the end, to not simply continue with the exact routines that they've had, because that doesn't give you a clear experience of the transition of something having been reached and ended and then moving on. But, and I think that's a good idea for a few weeks, but if you don't then mindfully move on to something else, I think you can spiral a little bit. I think you can go into a bit of a limbo, maybe is a good word for it, a bit of a limbo state. And I think I was in a limbo for, I finished myself coloring in March. I think I had April just kind of processing it still. And I think if I'd moved on to something after April, it would have been okay. But I think May and June, now we're at the end of July, May and June was just very uncertain. And then at the same time, I had kind of seasonal effect, a bit of seasonal kind of depression, because it's been winter here. And I find that winter does affect me a lot because I am very dependent on my nature time, my fresh air. And in winter, I go a bit more inside, a bit more into the kind of hibernation mindset, you know. My kind of bear aspect wants to just go into the cave and stay warm and cozy, not venture out, you know. And that's okay sometimes. That's sometimes on a cold, rainy day, that can be a really nice self-care kind of mood. But when that's the kind of general feeling, it tends to kind of drum you down, you know. It does for me. It really kind of brings things down. I don't get that outwards energy which cycles up all my other energies. And so that was really starting to have a kind of compounding effect. And then I did actually put together a reaction to that, which I called, or I'm calling, active hibernation, where I'm still leaning into those winter feelings, because that's there, but I'm trying to turn it into something else. And it's been working this past few weeks. I've been kind of leaning into this practice of very late night exercising. It feels somehow hibernation-ish. It feels bear-like. I've joined a 24-hour gym that's quite nearby, and I've been really enjoying going there around midnight, around 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., and doing just an hour or so of lifting and exercise, really enjoying the rowing machine. That's really helped. That's been a huge, huge effect. And just adding a bit more structure. That I've also added a fasting day back, which was something I really liked during my self-coloring. So you can take the things, certainly, that you really got something out of and re-implement them, kind of integrate them into your life. And I think that's part of the next phase after self-coloring, is you take things that you've learned and you put them into your general lifestyle. So now that I'm doing that as part of this active hibernation, I'm feeling much more attuned to my kind of outward energy and my general well-being has definitely lifted. Sleeping better, eating better, just feeling a lot more primal. So that's really helped. And so if you're going through your own self-coloring now, or you're thinking about it, part of the process to begin with is knowing, or will be helped by knowing, I didn't know, but you know, this is why it's good to be able to do these things and then be able to help other people, is that when you get to the end, it's not over. That's a big part of the lesson, is knowing that when you get to the actual coloring, you have that, and now a new phase begins, and that's a real positive. That's an exciting thing. So keep that in mind if that's self-coloring is something you're going to pursue. I do think everyone should pursue it. The more time goes by and the more I work with others that are doing it, I see so many positive effects. I don't think it matters if you're a submissive or a dominant, if you have a partner. I've had people reach out and talk to me and say, someone recently said my partner doesn't intend to collar me, so maybe I'll self-collar. And I'm like, well, yeah, you should, but it's not a reaction to not being collared by a partner. In actual fact, whether you are or not, you ideally should be self-collared first, I think, because it's like a foundation. So whether you're going to be or not, it's something you should consider. And whether you already are, you should still consider it, because it's something that's for you. Why would you not do something for yourself? You know, it makes no sense. When is a bad time to do something for yourself? Never. There's only even better times to do it. So I think you should definitely consider it.
To support this space and to get access to TFD's exclusive guides to kink, spicy content and more, check out his Patreon at www.patreon.com/thefunnydom.
A bit of a gear change, not to do self-collaring at all, but maybe in terms of dynamic artifacts, something that feels imbued or could be very imbued, is I got my first knife. Now, some of you might have seen, I shared some images of it on the Instagram page, and I'm just really happy with it. It is a nice wooden hand carved, made by a maker in Australia here, that it's quite a decent size, like a nice handle, and it's kind of in the style of like a hunting knife, which I quite like. So it is wooden because they can carve it down so that it is a safe toy for knife play. So they're very good for shaving wax. They're often used in wax play to, once the wax is kind of dried and hardened on the bottom, then you can kind of use the blade of a nice wooden knife to shave the wax off the skin, which is like another sensation. It's also practical to have a way of taking the wax off. So that's a whole other little practice, which I did want a wooden knife just for that, as a kind of functional thing. But I didn't expect how much I would enjoy the knife play possibilities. So I have had a recent chance to try it, and I've got to say, yes, it was very good at taking the wax off after some wax play. That was good as well, but the highlight for me was tracing the wooden blade of the knife over the play partner's body and holding it against her face and her throat while I was playing with her, while I was using her. That's a whole thing. At one point I grabbed her by the back of the head and I told her to lick the blade up and down, and while I was fucking her, I was watching her tongue lick all the way up the blade of the knife, and I was just turning the knife in front of her face and just watching her lick it up and down and praising her for doing a good job. And that was very satisfying. So yes, I give the knife a 10 out of 10 and definitely worth trying. I would say, if you're interested in that kind of thing, then remember, safety first. This is why it took me a little time to come to terms, I think, with knife play. I was very safety orientated, cautious, I would say, maybe even skeptical of it being safe. I've had more than one partner be very interested in it and kind of not push, but make it very clear that they would like to try that, and I've kind of held it back in the past. I'm just it needs to be safe. You know, if you're using any kind of what I'd call an actual knife, it's just not safe. There's no safe way to do that, because a very simple mistake could end in a very bad injury, and that's not a risk that is sensible. Whereas with one of these, there really isn't any injury that you could, you know, reasonably create. The point of the blade is that it's a little bit sharp. Like if you drove that with enough pressure, it could break skin and do harm. But the general blade along the edge is completely blunt. Like it is sharp enough to have a sensation when you kind of draw it along the skin. I have it in my hands right now, so I'm just kind of running it along my palm, and that's what you can do. You can kind of, what would carve or slice, you can kind of do that on skin with lots of pressure, and it doesn't even slightly begin to break skin. So it is thoroughly safe, but it still gives the sensation and visually has the intimidation factor of a sizable knife. So that's kind of what you would be after, I would say. Just remember, it has to be safe. Sensibly safe is the way to do that kind of thing. So yes, that's been very enjoyable. And sorry, I just got a little bit spacey there myself, just talking to remembering about the play and talking about it. So I've very much enjoyed that. And speaking of spacey play, we'll have a little over-the-knee recording for you later on that my subscribers on my Patreon, the Funny Dom Patreon, have already had the pleasure of listening to. I'm going to include that in this week's show. All right, I've managed to ground myself a little bit. Let's do some Q&A, shall we? A few questions here that were recently sent in through my Instagram stories. If you don't follow the page, please find me at The Funny Dom Returns or at The Funny Dom Is Here. Both pages active right now. And feel free to send in a voice message or written message if you have a question for the podcast. So we've got quite a few here. First up, what's your opinion on FinDom? That would be financial domination. FinDoms are usually female dominance, and they have a financial kind of fueled dynamic where they will control or draw from their submissives' finances. Yeah, I support it. I think, as with anything, it can be done very healthily, and that it can serve the needs of both people involved. It just needs to be obviously based on good communication and understanding, as with anything. I really am fascinated by Dan Savage's take on FinDomming. I've heard him speak on it seeming like it arose, certainly got a lot more popular and more common after the financial collapse in the 2000s. So I think that's really interesting. There was this huge kind of 1%, you know, culture, like that kind of era, and this huge imbalance of finances gave rise to not just a need for equalization, but a lot of men, again, speaking big stereotypes here, so allow for that, but a lot of men in the kind of white collar, you know, Wall Street kind of class who had a lot of money, a lot of liquid money they didn't need, arguably did not deserve, and that a lot of the FinDomming came out of a guilt and a shame that many of them had. And through their identity, through their submissive identity, they became submissive in a kind of FinDom dynamic. And that was a way of them finding solace and kind of equalizing that kind of guilt and shame, and certainly by using it. And then on the other side, the FinDoms were obviously getting that resource, that money, while giving their domination and allowing that catharsis to the submissive. So I think if you look at it like that, it's really quite beautiful, and feels like a healthy rebalancing of something that can be wildly out of balance in modern day, which is money. So yeah, all for it. Here we go. What's next? What is your biggest love language? Mine is quality time. I think gift giving is one of them. I'm not sure if it's number one, but I really like giving gifts, and I've realized I really like receiving as well. When I've received gifts from a partner, and when people have sent in gifts to the Funny Dom post office box that I set up, I get very affected by it. It feels it feels very moving, whatever it is. You know, sometimes if it's just, it can be something very simple, you know, like someone sent me coffee, you know, that's not like an exorbitant, lavish gift, but it's chosen by the person. They know I'm a coffee, you know, I'm a coffee fiend, and they've picked it. Maybe it was a flavor that they chose intentionally, you know, and it's from another country, so it's a bit special, and I get to enjoy that every day. Like, that kind of thing that is linked to ritual and linked to intention and literally taste, I think there's a lot in that. And I really like knowing, like allowing a sub's taste and what they like, and being able to choose a gift that is attuned to that and serves that, and seeing its effect on them is so satisfying. So gift giving is definitely up there. Quality time obviously is huge. I mean, if you haven't got time, you haven't got anything. So time and energy is probably number one. If I'm giving you my presence, it is an act of, you know, giving and of love, and it's the most important thing that we have. I mean, even this, having this space and doing what I do, that's why I have to balance it, and I have to make sure that it is still in majority serving me. That's why I have to do that, because otherwise it's too much giving, it's out of balance, and it won't be healthy for me. So time and energy, especially when a dynamic is involved, because it's dominant energy and it's very vital to me, obviously, and gift giving. And then I would say touch. I would say physical touch. I'm very tangible, I'm very touch driven, so being able to be in contact with someone is huge. So yeah, they're probably my top ones. Next, so do you think social media helps or hinders the Dom sub community? I don't think it's an or. I don't think it's helps or hinders. I think social media is such a huge thing. I mean, if you narrow it down to just Instagram specifically, maybe we can have a more specific conversation. But even then, it's probably just the same thing. It does both. It does both in different ways. I think it allows for huge amounts of sharing of information and community, and a lot of people may not have found their awareness and found their tribe, you know, found any community without social media. So that's a huge good. It also allows for a lot of negativity. It allows for a lot of toxic behavior. It allows for a lot of bullshit, you know. It allows for a lot of predatory behavior and ignorance to be shared as well. So there's flip sides to the coins. I might be romantic or naive. I think that the positive outweighs the negative. I hope that I'm right about that. I think that that's the case. Let's see what else we've got here. Resources for a CNC limits checklist. CNC would be referring to consensual non-consent. CNC limits checklist. Your resources would be anything about CNC. A limits checklist is really for you to create. So in terms of resources, I would just recommend anything on the topic, and then your own time and reflection and discussion, possibly with a partner. But if they're your limits, this is really just your own time and awareness that is the main resource here. I do have a guide on CNC that might help. It might help give you some kind of starting points. So that's on the Patreon. So maybe go and check that out as the guide to CNC. But otherwise, if you want to do list your limits, your parameters for exploring CNC, you really just need a pen and paper and some time and your own awareness of yourself, you know. So yes. Next up, what kind of wax do you recommend for wax play? That's a good question. Not anything just off the shelf. Some people just think it's just a candle. That's the most important thing to realize, is like, don't just go grab a candle. You don't know what's in that wax. I recommend any wax that is made for the purpose of wax play. If you buy a candle from a kink store or a kink creator or a sex shop, they are made for wax play. So they are typically a form of low temperature wax. They're a specific kind of wax, like I think it's a kind of soy mix, and it's really about the oils and any kind of perfumes not being in the wax. When you buy a candle off the shelf in just a supermarket or a store, it may have other ingredients in there that will heat up too much, so that when the wax melts and you drip it, you're going to get actually burned. Wax play is not supposed to burn the skin. It's supposed to be quite hot and a sensation, but it shouldn't legitimately, like, you know, blister, like actually burn and damage the skin. So make sure that you're buying a candle that is meant for play. So what do you think of the book S&M 101? I can't think of the author's name off the top of my head, but I know the book that you're referring to, S&M 101. It's a good book. What do I think of it? I think it's a good book, and I would recommend it. It's very good for, I would say, completely novice level folk, whether on the sub or dom side, any kind of kinkster. I would say that's a good one. I mean, that's why it's called 101. So I would recommend it. I would say it's a little dry. It doesn't lighten things up enough to make the information easy to digest. It's kind of one of the reasons why I made my book. Not to like replace this book, but to go, oh, this is good, but my version of this is kind of this, and it's safety conscious. S&M 101 is very safety conscious, which is great. It can be a bit difficult to kind of stay with and get stuck into. I think having a bit more, being a bit more playful with it, and you know, just being something that you can pick up and just read for 5 or 10 minutes and put back down and reread and use as like a regular resource because you're enjoying it, I think is or can be more practical than doing like a textbook. So it's a little bit like that. I would say on the shelf of books that would be great to have, I would put that on the shelf. I would put it on the shelf with some other books. Have you ever been to a munch? And if so, what was your experience like? Yeah, I've been to a few munches. A munch is a, just in case anyone hasn't been, a munch is just a little community, wholesome gathering of kinksters. It's not a play event. It's just meant for socializing and connecting with the community. So munch is a really good thing to go to if you're new to a scene or if you're new to kink in general. Thoroughly recommend going to a munch. They're usually at just a bar or, you know, kind of cafe, public place, somewhere quite, you know, quite not intimidating. That's the intent. They're not supposed to involve any kind of play or demonstration or kink. It's very casual. So it should be quite an easy and accessible space to enter as a new person and to possibly make friends and start to feel connected to your community. And that's usually what they're like. The ones I've been to. Last one I went to was actually with a partner, and it was very nice and chatty and wholesome, and it was odd. We actually just sat there and had a drink, and we didn't really talk to anyone else. We just talked to each other, and I just enjoyed the vibe. I didn't feel overly social you know, like crossing the line and doing the hello to strangers. I didn't know anyone else there, but it felt very comfortable to just be in a space with, you know, 20 or 30 or maybe 50 other people who are all kinksters. You know, they're all us. So you feel that kind of like, oh, this is my people. And I'm very happy with just feeling that sometimes. Like, I was very happy. So, yeah, that was the last time I went to one. it was funny. We just said to each other, are we going to talk to anyone? I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like it. Like, if it happens, it happens. But I was happy to just kind of be there and have a drink and feel like that odd feeling of not being on the outside, you know, like being like, oh, these are all the people. And that feels good. So I think just for that kind of connection and validation, it's a really good idea to look up a local munch and get yourself to one. Let's see, any more here? How can I, female possible sub, approach my male boyfriend of 4 years about getting into DS? How can you approach? I would say crawling might be a bit presumptuous. So maybe walking, if you want to approach. I would say walk towards is how you walk, is how you approach. Walking away will not help because you'll have to yell. So approach towards. And if they're sitting, I would say also sit. And then I would say use your mouth to make words come out and speak and communicate. If you try doing that with your feet, that's going to get very confusing. I don't know if you know any form of sign language and if your partner knows sign language and if you can sign with your feet. Hands might be easier, but again, I think why are we skipping the mouth? You know, that's what we use for vocalization. So I would say use your mouth and have words come out and have a conversation of words with your partner who you've been with for 4 years. So if any of this is sounding like something you don't do or haven't done, you've got a much bigger problem to address. And just have a conversation where you can literally say just what you said to me, I would like to talk about getting into DS. And then they might say, what is that? Which is a perfect way to start a conversation, because then you can answer and talk about it. And maybe they've also been thinking about that, or maybe they're very curious about it, or maybe they have no idea what you're talking about and this is how they learn. I mean, it could be 100 different things could happen, but none of them happen if you don't use your words. So try not to get stuck looking at the how to do it as if it's some kind of arcane puzzle, because if you didn't pick up on all that sarcasm, it really is not a puzzle. You just have to have a conversation which involves talking, you know. It's all it is. And if you can talk to me, if you can send me a question about something, then you really can talk to your partner of years, you know. So just do it. You just kind of feeling anxious about it because you're worried about what their response is going to be. Of course you are, of course. But you're not going to figure out what their response is until you give them the opportunity to have the response, which involves you using your words. So get out of that limbo, get out of that silly anxiety, and just do it, okay? Okay, let's do one more. If someone identifies as a dom but marries outside the kink community, do you think they'll be happy, or will something always be missing if they can't satisfy that part of themselves? I mean, I think the answer is kind of in the question there. It's part of themselves. So, I mean, how can you be happy if you can't be yourself? You know, you can't live as just part of yourself. You have to be all yourself. So if part of your identity, and I would say a very key fundamental part, which is your dynamic identity, if that's not being lived in any way,
then I would say no, you're going to be living not your full self, and I don't see how that could be happy. So no, I don't think that'll be a happy person. I hope that's not you, the person messaging. Doesn't say, keeps it kind of third person. If someone, it's almost like asking for a friend. Thanks for those questions, folks. As always, you can send your questions in to me on Instagram at thefunnydomreturns or thefunnydomishere. Please feel free to send in voice messages so that we can hear your question, so that you can outlay your question a little bit better. I will continue to do Q&A segments on the show, but very soon, as of next episode or the one after, I'll be bringing on special guests almost every week, and they'll be fellow kinksters from the local scene or international scene. I already have a bunch of amazing guests booked up, including one and only Hannah Deindorfer, Julietta Chiara, and Little Spaces. If any of you follow the Little Spaces page on Instagram, we'll be talking to the little behind Little Spaces. Right now, though, a special treat for you. It's time for a over-the-knee spanking with a very special little gremlin. This was recorded live in my playroom where I am right now. I hope you enjoy it. And just as a disclaimer, this is a consensual, fun impact scene with good demonstration of communication. The smacks might be a little loud, so get ready to turn your headphones down and get ready to sit down because you might need to. Enjoy.
Are you ready for your smacks?
Mm-hmm.
Louder?
Yes, Daddy.
So first I'm going to put you over my knee and give you some warm-up smacks. And then I'm going to put you in a restrained position on my chair. And I'm going to give you some punishment strikes. Does that sound good?
Yes, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. And if you need Daddy to check in, what are you going to say? If you need Daddy to check in with you, what are you going to say?
Yellow.
Good girl. And if you need Daddy to stop and give you care, what are you going to say?
Red, please.
Good girl. That's right. Well, up you get over Daddy's knee. This way. And what are you wearing for Daddy?
I picked out a special outfit of a little skirt, black pleated skirt and fishnets that Daddy wanted me to wear, and a little shirt with a little red bow.
That's right. Very, very pretty. Warm up these nice cheeks.
Yes, Daddy.
Just when I restrain you, I'm going to give you my ruler and this cane right here. See this cane?
That one looks scary.
Yeah. That's going to be your bottom.
I picked the ruler.
I'm going to do 10 smacks on each cheek, and I want you to count them out loud for me. Understood?
Yes, Daddy. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Good girl. good?
Yes, Daddy. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Are you ready for your proper strikes?
Yes, Daddy.
You've got some punishment strikes coming, haven't you?
Yes, Daddy.
I want your knees here on the chair. Pass out. Good girl, just like that. First, I'm going to give you Daddy's ruler.
Yes, Daddy.
Just to warm up these cheeks. Just do.
I just ripped my fishnets.
Have you felt bamboo before?
No, Daddy.
No, it's your first time?
Yes, Daddy.
That's cute, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To support this space and to get access to TFD's exclusive guides to kink, spicy content, and more, check out his Patreon at www.patreon.com/thefunnydom.
Didn't she take her discipline well? Oh, folks, next up, another special treat. I've decided to do a series of audio commentaries I'm calling Watch Along with the Funny Dumb, where I'm going to play well-known kink or dynamic films with a audio dommentary. That's right, a commentary with a dom. I'm a daddy, I'm going to do daddy jokes. So I'm going to give you a little segment of one right now. This will be the first half hour or so of the first Watch Along, which is on the notorious, dare I say, 50 Shades of Grey. So please enjoy a little preview, a little sneak peek of a Watch Along with the Funny Dom of 50 Shades of Grey. The very first Watch Along with the Funny Dom. We're watching a film together, and I'm going to give you audio commentary from myself as I watch the movie. So it'll be like we're sitting together watching a movie. And as I tend to do when I watch movies or TV shows, I do like to add in my two cents, have a bit to say, especially when it's a movie like this. So we're going to be doing 50 Shades this month. We're going to do a different film or show every month. And we're kicking off with this, dare I say, classic 50 Shades. So how this will work is I'll tell you when to press play. We'll be starting right from the old Universal logo. And we'll push play together, have a little countdown. And then you can listen along to this commentary, maybe in headphones or on a little speaker while you watch the movie. So I hope you've got your snacks and you're comfy, as we're going to start 50 Shades of Grey right now. Are you ready? Let's do a watch along. Pressing play in 3, 2, 1. Clouds, grey clouds. Ooh, all different shades of clouds. Already so clever. It's a great opening track though. I'm gonna try and not hate everything about this movie. And there's a lot to not hate. I mean, look at that walk-in. It's a good mirror. This guy is good. The cast is good in this movie. There is a lot that I mean, Marsha Gay Harden, it's a great cast. I'm just going to allow all this. Oh, look, his tires are different shades like the clouds. Oh. Danny Elfman, so good. A lot of good talent behind this. Not in the writing at all, but everywhere else. Whatever your own relationship with this movie, this franchise is, it is really good to see, you know, a dynamic story in a big studio film. I do enjoy that. And Dakota, again, the cast is great. She's wonderful. Grey House. Oh my God. It's just so much of it is on the nose. Big building. Such a little girl. Why is she interviewing this guy? What's the deal? His intimidating power suit corporate dolls that he has. See that some of the production design is hard to have a problem with. Those great doors. Oh, falls down immediately. This guy, Jamie Dornan, again, great actor, great Irish actor. So good in The Fall, was it? Yeah. So she's a college student and gets somehow falls into interviewing this weird billionaire guy. Okay. Like he would have time for that at all. So it's his college, and he's doing the speech, and that's why he's doing this. Okay, not as ridiculous. Oh my God. I don't even hate that line as much as just the character names just feel lazy. Miss Steele. Mr. Gray. Wasn't that the character's name in The Secretary? Did she just steal the Dom's name, James Spader's name from Secretary? Like, I thought this was a Twilight fan fiction, wasn't it, to begin with? Troubling. No comment on that. It's a real struggle between the chemistry of the actors and just some of the cheesiness. I like that they have an immediate vibe. I do like that. There is like a dynamic vibe. I'm just already remembering how overplayed the whole, like, she's falling down, she doesn't know what she's doing, she doesn't have a pencil. Like, they have to make her so, like, she's not stupid. They try and make her kind of, you know, a bit dumb as a character, instead of, you know, actual character. They just try and make it that's what submissive is. Really, just a bit vague and mousy and inexperienced. Like, that's not an identity. But the same is for him as well. I mean, he's just a suit and stirred and control freak. So that's a dominant. Like, it's just playing on really basic stereotype stuff. I would love a sandwich. This is my fasting day. I haven't eaten today. God, show me that sandwich. They're both ridiculously hot. You put her in a cardigan and slightly undone hair and try and make us think that she's not so gorgeous. A ridiculous thing. Yeah, give me that sandwich. my God. It's very subtle, very subtle. This is the friend, the guy friend, who's probably not a billionaire, sociopathic Dom. She works at a hardware store, which is fine. That's odd. Seems strange. It would be interesting if she was just like into home renovations. It's more likely that it's just a play on the word hard being in hardware. I think, is it E.L. James, the writer? Not a lot of depth. I like it when it's, you know, tongue in cheek that it knows it is, so it's having a bit of fun. Like, that's at least having a bit of fun, that he's here to get supplies for a scene. And he's obviously doing that on purpose to see if she picks up on it. I don't think a hardware store is going to have good prepared rope, but I like how she's gathering it there, so that's good. It's a nice color. They do have a lot of it there. Even got tires on the wall. This is a good hardware store. Maybe she's working here like subconsciously, literally. A troubling comment, not today. Creepy. I wonder how many times better this portrayal would be if they just let Jamie have his Irish accent, like this exact character, but imagine it with his actual Irish voice. I'm here to pay some rope. Anna, Miss Steele. Where are the cable ties, Miss Steele? That she can't help but be charming. There's having photos taken. I can't smile. I am never happy. I am a Dom.
some very early kind of territorialness, possession vibe coming up there that's supposed to be kind of just hot, but in reality that would be quite troubling. Also worrying, someone tells you you're intimidating and you say good, or you should be. Although I like that he's making her eat. So a few things I do resonate with in the behavior. Wanting to know the background and who a possible partner is. He's doing some vetting, but she doesn't really know that he's doing vetting. We should be a bit more upfront right now. He should actually tell her what he's actually doing right now, why he's asking her to eat, what he actually is and why. Now, what happened? She said something dramatic and he's been shaken out of it. Goodness. What is this bullshit? He just like stalked her a little bit, took her to coffee and started. Getting into her and then immediately like withdraws. And then tells her, I'm not the man for you. She didn't say that she wanted him to be or really do anything except do a favor for a friend. It's got so many cheesy red flags, this guy. It's a good gift. Gift giving, love language. This is a good one. I don't know the last time I had a shot of something. Oh my god, I think I've moved on from shots. Old phones age movies now so badly. Here we go, she's calling him. Look at this glass of wine, laptop, mood lighting. Dig it. Big bratty energy from her right now. Kind of like it, because he kind of messed her around a bit and now she's like prodding him. Also, she's very cute doing her like drunk thing. Yeah. She's right. Yes, I like this attitude. This right here from him already is totally cool and yes, hot and okay. If they were in a dynamic and a relationship, I'm totally down with it. I would possibly behave like this. But they're in nothing. They barely know each other. And he just told her dramatically, I'm not the man for you. And now he's like, I'm going to come get you. It's pretty fucked. Yeah, she needs some water and something to eat. She doesn't need this guy to be creeping up on her and hugging her either. She literally just said she's had too much to drink. He's like, now's my chance. Don't think the jumping in hero bullshit was entirely necessary, but well, how much has she had to drink? So we took her back to his hotel. Again, seems like the idea of what is hot, but actually should have taken her home, if anything, if he's there at all. Just like take her home, make sure she's okay. Not, you're unconscious, I'll bring you to my hotel. And then tell you what to do. You have, again, just so much of this is like a few degrees left of what is actually okay. Like, yes, I would do that if I was in a relationship with someone. Otherwise, it's fucking a huge boundary crossing.
You're listening to the Funny Dom Podcast.
Be good. And stay kinky as if you had any choice in the matter. See you next time.